Talking about forgetting, today is a day of remembering. This weekend is a day of remembering. Many churches ignore Memorial Day because it's not one of the holy days on the church calendar. But I believe it's good for us to consider what Memorial Day really represents, for its very name calls us to remember. Now, I'm sure most of you recognize the bugle call taps. And if you have a television, or if you watch TV, or if you watch news, any length of time this weekend, or tomorrow especially, I'm sure you'll hear it again and again. The origin of taps dates back to the Civil War in 1862. A Union Army general, and his name was Daniel Butterfield. And his brigade were camped out at Harrison's Landing in Virginia following a 7-day battle near Richmond. And at that time, the standard method, depends how you want to call it, of signaling lights out was to encamp the troops at the end of the day. There was a bugle call that was followed by 3 loud taps on a drum. General Butterfield was dissatisfied with that and was thinking the last sound that the men hear at night should be much more soothing and much more melancholy. And he wrote the bugle call that eliminated the sounds of the drum. After this, he had his brigade bugler play it for the men. Buglers from all other units became interested and it quickly spread through the Union Army and even caught on with the Confederates. Then in July, while they were still camped at Harrison's Landing, Corporal Captain John Tibble, Battery A, 2nd Artillery, died of his wounds, and everybody loved him, especially this general. They wanted to bury it with military honors. Including the traditional 3-volley fire over the gravesite. But he was refused permission because it was feared that the Confederate Army might mistake the volleys of fire for a beginning of attack by the Union Army. Tidwell later wrote that through his... So the thought suggested itself to me the sound of taps instead, and which they did for this soldier. The idea was taken up by others. In a very short time, it was adopted by the entire army. Taps is now looked on as the most appropriate and touching part of a military funeral. Yes, tomorrow is Memorial Day. But what comes to mind when you think of Memorial Day? What does come to mind? Beginning of summer, barbecues, backyard. Oh, how about family get-togethers? Many of us forget true meaning of Memorial Day. Now, in many churches, like I said, Memorial Day is ignored because it's not one of the high holy days. But I believe it is good for us to consider Memorial Day, regardless of what the church calendar says. Its very name calls us to remember. This special day started at the end of the Civil War, and within a few years, the practice of placing flowers on military graves had spread from the north and even into the south, and it was a wonderful memorial. And they actually called it Decoration Day, for your information. Then after World War I, it became a national holiday, dedicated to remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms we enjoy. It also became a day to remember loved ones who had gone on before. People have forgotten, and we are forgetful. let's be honest, we're forgetful, and we need help to jog our memories. Well, the Bible has the same thing in it, too. In the Bible, we can find God giving us some reminders. After God destroyed the earth in a flood, he told Noah, I will establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. Now that is found in the book of Genesis chapter 9, verse 11. And God said, I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. That is Genesis 9:13. So every time we see a rainbow, it serves as a reminder of God's promise. Man may have corrupted the symbol or changed the symbol, but it is still God's symbol. Now, another memorial that's recorded in the Bible was erected when Joshua led the people of Israel crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land. The Jordan River stopped flowing just as the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant and they stepped on the riverbank into the water. And the priests stood in the middle of the riverbed until everyone had crossed safely. And while they were crossing, Joshua told 12 men, one from each tribe of the 12 tribes, to go into the riverbed and select 12 stones. They brought these stones into the riverbank and made a monument of them. Joshua said, in the future, when your children ask, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it was crossing the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones were a memorial to the people of Israel forever. There are special days and times in the Bible specifically designed to help us remember what it's about. And I'm going to call your attention to three of them today, besides ones you've already had. You probably know these stories, but listen again how God uses them to help us remember. The first one is the festival of Passover, which we talked about just a couple weeks ago. The people of Israel had been sojourners and had been slaves in Egypt. And God told Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and say to the Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses did what he commanded. Now, after much argument, okay, we'll get down that later. And God sent a plague upon plague on Egypt, one for every one of their gods. And every time the plague was at its worst, the Pharaoh would say, stop the plague and I'll let the people go. But after the plague was over, Pharaoh would renege on his war promise and did continue in slavery. Finally, Moses said, this is what the Lord says, about midnight I'm going to go through the land of Egypt and every firstborn son of Egypt will die, animal and man. And there'll be loud wailing throughout all of Egypt, worse than there's ever been or ever will be. And that's recorded in Exodus chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. And God instructed the Israelites, each family is to choose a year-old lamb without blemish or without spot, without blemish, the very best in the flock. Now, give me a sidetrack here. You know, one thing that many have forgotten is we're supposed to give our best to God. But sadly, we tend to keep the best for ourselves. And so many people give God the leftovers. Yet the biblical principle has always been, God deserves our very best. Our time, our talents, our skills, our abilities, and lastly, our money. And if we love Him, we'll give Him the very best. Then God told them, the Israelites, kill the lamb, drain its blood into a basin, and roast the lamb. But before you eat, take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood or in the basin, and put it on the top and the both sides of the door frame. Now that's Exodus chapter 12, verse 22. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. And I will bring judgment upon all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign unto you and to the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plagues. Think about that. No destructive plagues will touch you as I strike Egypt. Now that's Exodus 12 and 13. Someone in every Jewish home took hyssop. It's a herb. And they dipped it in the blood and they put it on the doorframe. And that night, just as God said, he brought judgment on Egypt. And there was weeping and wailing throughout the land. But wherever God saw the blood of the lamb, those homes were spared. Now, for you, a sidebar here, they've just found the mass graves of that night in Egypt. There's animals and men in it. They found three women and all the rest, 10,000 per grave was all men. They buried them all very quickly without embalming. And that's for another sermon we're going to come up in the future. So, but I got to keep going on in this, or we're not going to get there. Some of you got plans for today, don't you? Me, it's called a nap. Exodus chapter 12 tells us that the next morning the Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country. I'm going to shorten it up. They were told to get out. Otherwise, we'll all die. So after 400 years to the year, they were freed. God said, "This is a day you're to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as the festival to the Lord." Over 3,500 years have gone by, and faithful Jews still celebrate and remember the Passover. And it's important we don't forget either. Now, the second memorial I want to draw your attention to is the day of our worship. It all started when God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible says that God worked for 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested, and God blessed the Sabbath, which was the seventh day. In the Ten Commandments, God told the Jews that they're to remember the Sabbath day, the seventh day, and keep it holy, and rest and worship. And under God's old Jewish covenant, the seventh day of the week was to be kept holy. Why do Christians living under the new covenant worship on the first day of the week? And that's a very good question. Let me mention a few things that make the first day of the week special for Christians. First of all, Sunday was the first day. It's special to Christians because that's when Jesus rose from the dead. His resurrection was on the first day of the week. And his first six resurrection appearances were all on the first day of the week. And 50 days later, after Jesus, when he ascended back to heaven on the day of Pentecost, was on the first day of the week. The Holy Spirit came to the apostles, just as Jesus had promised, and Peter preached a sermon, 3,000 people were saved. They were baptized, and the church was started on the first day of the week. Soon Christians were meeting upon the first day of the week to worship God and encourage each other. And then in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John spoke of this day as the Lord's Day. So that's why we've come today to remember the cost of our salvation and what happened. I pray that we will always recognize that wherever we come together, when we have come to meet a holy and righteous God whenever we come together, whatever reason, and to remember what he's done for us, and to rededicate ourselves, whether it's midweek potluck or that, we are doing it to God. Now, Finally, there's the meal of remembrance. It was the night before the crucifixion. Jesus met with his disciples in an upper room and he celebrated the Passover meal. In that evening of remembering, as God so long ago commanded it, but as they ate, Jesus gave them something new, something greater to remember. For Jesus took the bread, unleavened bread, and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body for which you do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Those words are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. Do you know why Jesus said, "This cup is of the new covenant of my blood"? It is because Jesus was the fulfillment of prophecy God had given centuries before through the prophet Jeremiah. And it says right there, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. I will put my law on their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And I will forgive their wickedness. And I will remember it, their sins, no more. Now that is Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31, 34. That's an easy one to remember. Jeremiah 31, 31. Whenever you're in trouble, whenever life's falling apart, Jeremiah 31, 31. But for us, no longer were the ingredients of the Passover meal simply a reminder of their release from slavery. Now the bread and the cup were an eternal reminder of what Jesus' sacrifice and love means. That's why Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And then Paul wrote about that. He said, "Whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Those are 1 Corinthians 11, 26. So when you and I partake, we're proclaiming, "I believe that Jesus lived and died and rose again, and he is my Savior and Lord." Now, you may not feel you're able to speak eloquently, but you can proclaim your faith through these emblems. Now, next Sunday, we as a church are going to partake in the Lord's Supper, and we will remember the cost of our salvation. We've all traveled the same dusty roads. We've all sinned, and we're all not worthy. But we do not partake of communion because we're worthy. We partake because God is holy and he invites us to come into his presence. And as part of his memorial, we share with each other. We have much to remember. Whatever you do, don't forget how you got here. Don't forget the price that was been paid and has been paid so that we can live in freedom and enjoy the blessing that God has given us. Please never forget. Tomorrow, please remember that we have cemeteries in 16 foreign lands, including the Mariana Islands, where men and women of our nation are laid to rest. 218,000 rest outside our country's borders. That is not counting those resting in our lands. Now, in actual combat, 666,441, according to the government, have died in actual combat. In related to combat, Agent Orange or whatever you want to add, you can add another 673,929. That brings 1,354,664 men and women have paid the ultimate price so you and I can be here in freedom. They loved freedom and they loved each other. For if we're honest, they supported each other. We never need to forget that. But you were also supported. Before you were born, your redemption was paid for. God so loved you that He sent His only begotten Son, not to condemn you, but to give you a way to spend eternity with Him. The blessing of Memorial Day is God, throughout His holy word, gives us memories and memorials and things to remember. And they're all important. They're all important. But what you got to remember, the best memorial you ever can read is your sin is as far as from the east as the west. Think about that. They never meet. God chooses to look upon you not by your deeds, your actions, your abilities, by the blood of the spotless, blemishless Lamb. Just like it was put on the doorpost, it's put on the door of your heart. And because of that blood, He does not see the past. Our problem is we got to forgive our past. And none of you have ever remembered something you did 10 years ago and wish you'd done it differently, right? Have you ever gotten mad at yourself for you didn't use the right words 10 years ago and you had a whole conversation what you should have said? Guess what? God doesn't deal with that. He chooses by His miraculous power not to even know what happened that 10 years ago because you were forgiven. That blood was given for you. It was put on the doorpost of your heart. That is His memorial and remembrance of you. Men and women have died for that blood ever since. People have been martyred. People have paid the ultimate price because they asked Jesus into their heart. Families have disowned them because they've asked Jesus into their heart. But you become an adopted son or daughter of the Most High God. It's a wonderful time to remember all what we're going through. Also sad time. Many of you have lost family. As you look at a veteran's cemetery all perfectly lined up like they're standing in attention, we remember the cost. And it's just not in the battle. Many have died because of diseases and things after the battle. We remember the cost. But it was done for you. Now we're going to close in prayer. Now, I understand there's some goodies out there because somebody had a birthday, which I'm not allowed to mention. So Jeremiah, whose birthday was happy? It's not Jeremiah's. Whose birthday? Say in the mic. Dad's birthday. So, Dad's going to have to suffer. Nobody sings to him. We're not going to do that. But Jeremiah is now happy he got to say it to everybody. Right, Jay? I did good? Okay, I made Jay's day. If I made Jay's day, life is good. Right? Look at that smile on his face. He's like, I can't even smile that big, Jay. It's Dad's birthday. He's going to be remembered, but it's also our Savior's day. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we remember the work and the cost of our salvation. We humbly stop to ask a special blessing on the Gideons. They are our missionaries to the world. 290-some thousand men and women out reaching the world. What a blessing. Now, Father, bless us as we remember the cost of each of these moments. For every second, two more Bibles are handed out and a chance of someone being saved from the pit of hell. Thank you, Father. Thank you for allowing us to be part of this great memorial. And all God's people said, Amen.